In the dim dark past, the world was not as it is. The continent Mu is unknown now, but long ago it stood as the centre of the world. And there, in the north, the tribe of the Bear Cave lived and died with only their ingenuity and prodigious magical gifts to keep them safe. Little did they realise that a storm was brewing around them that would change their way of life forever. Join us now as we experience their time in Paleomythic, Tribe of the Bear Cave.
Hello, and welcome to episode 499 of the Cult of Tea and Dice. I'm Mordrigan, and I'll be your GM for tonight for Paleomythic, Tribe of the Bear Cave. It's not the Bear Claw Cave, as I keep saying, it's just the Bear Cave, Tribe of the Bear Cave. The tribal council session, anybody know?
Seven.
Session seven. Now, you'll have noticed that I can't breathe. You'll have noticed there's been a big old gap in this game. We were hoping that Bubbles would be able to make it back. She unfortunately has been unable to, so we're going to have to push on without her for the time being. Hopefully soon she'll be back with us, and Odina will suddenly find herself much more able to speak. At the moment, Odina is out of it. We've got other people, though, and I'm going to go in order they appear on my screen. So I'm going to go with Archive.
Hello, I'm Archive, and I'm playing Soren, who is a sickly, crafty tracker.
Hardwick.
Hello, I'm Hardwick, and I'm playing Lop, the brawler priest.
Mm-hmm. And Loka?
I'm like a centaurus, and consciousness permitting, I will be playing, where is my name on this thing?
I believe you're Soren, aren't you?
No. I'm Fren.
Oh, you're Fren. Soren's Archive.
I am.
It's all right.
I am doomsayery person and bone chantry person, and I swear I'm conscious.
Yeah. And then we'll go to Blooded, assuming Blooded's computer has ceased taking off. It has not ceased taking off. Well, yeah, Blooded's here as well. Blooded's playing. Who's Blooded playing? Anyone remember? Kursk. That's it.
I am Blooded, and I am playing Kursk.
What's Kursk do?
He's a sneaky, thiefy archer dude.
He does do de-arching. Basically, I'm going to sum up. Previously on Paleomythic, all those months ago, you've basically realised that the Toolbreakers and the Warshouters are building a little bit of an alliance up to probably murder all of the magical tribes, you think? Magical tribes not being their thing, and the murder definitely being their thing. So you're like, okay, well, we're going to go round to all the other tribes and draw them in to do a tribal council and try and form an alliance against the Warshouters and the Toolbreakers, and basically make it so they can't attack any one magical tribe without basically getting wiped out by all of the others. So far, you've gone and spoken to a number of other tribes. The Water Tribe, who are Neanderthal primitives, and they seemed to be okay with this plan. The Sun Worshippers, who were like, well, you're doing it in our home, so I guess we'll be here, but we're neutral. We stay neutral in all things. Neutrally. We're neutral. Very neutral. Then you went from there. I think the first people you went to talk to was the Heart-Eating Tribe, who were creepy, but were like, yeah, sure, we'll totally come visit. Then you went to the Tribe of the Elk, who it turned out weren't that keen on you on account of killing that elk and all. They did do some political manoeuvring in the hopes of like, well, let's get this finished up without there being a tribal war between us lot. They'd have probably won, though, because they outnumbered you by a lot and they all had bows. But Odina challenged their champion, and with the aid of a number of thrown rocks and poisoned darts, managed to eke out a draw. And the leader of the elk tribe was like, yep, okay, that's a draw. Cool, that's all sorted then. Bye then, bye. Get out before they realise. And you guys have moved from there with a heavily injured Odina, which is why she is not appearing in this episode, to visit the Sun Worshippers. Have you visited the Sun Worshippers yet? No, you haven't, have you? You're going to visit the Tribe of Fire.
We visited the Sun Worshippers first.
Yes, because we needed them to agree for us to...
It's all right. Yeah. I forgot that I called. So you're at the bottom of the little plateau where the Tribe of Fire live. And you've just been greeted by the guards, who were surprised to see you, and sent up the hill. Now, I believe it was sort of eveningy. Is that about right? Does that sound correct to you all?
Yeah.
Sure.
It's been a very long time, listeners. Let's go with yes. Yes, Mordrigan. It was evening. So you start walking up. It's a pretty snaky path. It goes back and forth a lot of times. And it becomes really obvious really quickly that these guys really like burning their enemies. Because every turn, there are a series of like two or three spikes onto which are spiked dead people who have been set on fire. And there's usually a burning torch at each corner. The bonus to this is it makes it really, really easy to make your way up, despite the fact that the night is getting darker and darker and darker. And eventually you come to the top of the plateau, and it opens up in front of you. And directly in front of you, there's like three or four guards. Stone cudgels, not terribly armoured. They've all got like flaming torches. And then maybe 50 or 60 or so meters behind them is a clearing, because there's some trees up here. There's not, the trees up here aren't like exactly big. They're a bit stunted. They're a bit small, but yeah, there's trees dotted round about here. And there's sort of, you want to go with like dug into the ground tents. Like somebody's dug a hole and then put wood over the top and stretched hides across it in most places. A frankly enormous fire right in the middle. And the guards will hold up their hands. Hello, you are? They wait a bit longer.
This is the point we suddenly all realise that Odina has been our talker.
Yes.
Well... can I marshal the brain cells to do this? We are a delegation from the tribe of the Bear Cave. Not the Bear Claw Cave, Bear Cave.
I see. And why are you
here? To invite you and yours to meet at the... Is it just called the Meeting Stones? I can't remember.
It is just called the Meeting Stones.
To meet at the Meeting Stones days hence.
Uh-huh. Eight now, I think it is.
Sure.
It is now.
And they can only take three people? Was it
ten,
three or
ten,
five?
Ten
people. Ten people. Oh, I should not have opened my mouth.
You remember more than I do. I'm just like scouring my notes to go, what the hell are we actually doing?
What are we doing? Who am I? Are these my feet?
More or less. Why do I have bone fetishes by the thousand?
These guys kind of glazed over when you got beyond, we are a delegation from the tribe of the Bear Cave. They let you finish talking, and then they're like, so you need to speak with the chief then?
That would be helpful, yes.
Very well. And they lead you into the circle of dugout tents, shall we say? These dugout tents, it looks like they work quite well, because it means you get a lot more headroom in them. The elk tribe were only really able to do theirs because they murder a fantastic number of deers. Whereas this lot, obviously, they don't kill quite so many animals, so leather is a bit more limited. So by digging into the earth, they maximise their use of the leather. And you sort of head in, and that fire in the middle is phenomenally large. It is absolutely enormous. And you realize that that might basically explain why there's so few, you know, big trees on the top here. There's no tree over, like, what, 3 meters, 4 meters? You reckon because they mostly get used for firewood. But you go in, and you're led to just beyond where the big fire is, and told to sort of wait. The various tribes people, there's still quite a few of them moving about, despite the fact that it's nighttime. The benefit to a giant fire is, of course, that you can keep moving about later in the night than you normally would. And, well, they're certainly making use of it. Not massively armor-wearing people, by the looks of things. Or rather, the people who you can see aren't wearing armor at the moment. You do see a few what you would take to be warriors. And they seem to have, like, spears, mostly fire-hardened spears. They're not particularly well-made, you wouldn't think. The two crafters, they're kind of basic. But yeah, everybody definitely shows signs of having burned themselves at least once. And it takes you a bit of time to realize that actually they're usually burned in the same places, so there must be some kind of initiation rite or something involving burning yourself. And you sort of stand there. There's a lot of people coming out to basically look at you because you're weird and different. And maybe 5-10 minutes passes, and out of the dug-in tent in front of you comes a man. Now, he's quite big. He's very tall. He's not particularly wide of shoulder, but he's got a big stomach on him. But he kind of looks a bit melted. Like, you know, if somebody, like, gets a bad burn and their skin just looks, takes on that sort of melty look. He looks like that pretty much all over. And he comes and he waves over a couple of people, and they bring out this log, which has got a burned dint into it, and like all these burned symbols all over it. And then he waves some more, and they bring out another log for you and place it so that you've got your backs to the giant fire. And it's not very far away. It is uncomfortably warm where you're expected to sit.
Ah, the good old, if I don't like you, I can kick you into the fire trick.
I mean, he could. He absolutely could. He looks at you for a minute, and then he waves somebody over, and they come with this, like, gourd, and he takes a swig. And he reaches over to the end of the log, and at the end of the log, there's these two, like, standing torches, and he picks up one of the torches, and he looks at you. And then he blows fire. Literally, this gout of flame rushes out of him. Now, for we modern people, seeing someone fire breathing is kind of common. We know how you do that. You get something volatile, you breathe it out through a flame, it's real impressive. For you guys, on the other hand, that shit is definitely magical and pretty terrifying.
Can I just check, because I don't remember right now, what... I know cinder's quite magic-y, or quite fiery, and is in our tribe. What can cinder do, and where is this on the Dear Lord, that's fire scale?
Let me take a quick look, because cinder's a fire starter, isn't she?
Yeah, just to get an idea of what we're aware of as a thing that can happen.
The problem is we don't have the player here. They've got a page with time I never find the page, and rather annoyingly, I haven't seen you to give you your copy yet, so you can't be looking too. Firemaker, there we go. Ah, cinder can also breathe fire, so you would know that people can do that. So yeah, she's previously done this before, so you're not okay. As surprised as you would have been, but yeah. He's so, definitely demonstrating the skill of being a fire breather.
So impressed, not shocked.
Yes, exactly. And he sort of sits there for a moment and watches your reaction, and then says,
"I'm Tormal. Who are you?"
You get the impression that maybe his voice is quite rough because he breathes fire a lot and doesn't always do it right.
So why are you here?
I will repeat the same thing that we've by now practiced quite well, but it's been a while.
Okay, so you want us to come to the meeting stones. But why? What's the point of this meeting?
Point is to discuss an alliance against the Toolbreakers?
Toolbreakers and War Shouters.
And the War Shouters, because they appear to be gearing up to explicitly be going after the tribes with magic.
He sits forward. Ah, so they're making an alliance against magical tribes, is it?
Seems that way. They already have the snake tribe captive.
Hmm. And the snake tribe are very powerful in the magic.
My brain is sort of firing on maybe 2 out of 8 cylinders on this, but they...
Yeah, they're magic. They're probably...
They took their high priestess or high shaman or something to keep the rest of the tribe in line.
Hmm.
Didn't we rescue her?
Yes, that's the woman you rescued.
Yes. And we freed the snake spirit, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
We did. I'm not sure we've gotten to the point where we can free the snake tribe yet.
Well...
So she's kind of free, but we can't just sort of send her home because the snake tribe is on the other side of the Toolbreakers and the War Shouters.
Well, it's between the two, in fact, which is even worse.
I see.
Yeah.
So, you're some form of heroes, are you?
I'm not entirely certain on the definition of hero, but we do seem to keep getting told to do this kind of thing.
Well, you said you saved the shaman. Now you're out here asking for our help, yes?
Does that make us heroes?
We are considered so by our tribe.
Well... For tonight, you can be my guests here, and we'll discuss this more in the morning. If you expect me to just come when I'm called, that's not how I work. However, if you can prove to me that you're worthy, then maybe. Let's show these people some of our hospitality, shall we?
They start bringing food and drink out. Now, the drink is incredibly strong. Like, incredibly strong. The food is very badly cooked. And by very badly cooked, I mean the outside is mostly charcoal. And it's almost all meat.
Okay.
It's not a great meal, let's put it that way.
Student's first barbecue, got it.
Yeah. And they start, like, plying you with food and drink. What are you all up to?
Have any of us met with the Fire Tribe before? Or do they usually keep to themselves?
Well, they're the other side of the Heart-Eating Tribe, so no.
All right.
You guys don't tend to make it over here unless you're specifically making it over here on purpose. You've probably heard of them. They really like burning people. They're not massive. If this is the main and only settlement, they're probably about the same size as your tribe. Obviously, they've got this nice plateau, so they're well defended. They tend not to really interact very much with the Heart-Eating Tribe, because nobody interacts with the Heart-Eating Tribe if they can avoid it. Maybe they deal with the Elk Tribe. Similarly, the Tribe of the Poisoned Vines is nearby, but again, they're a bit weird on their own. And they're the next people you've got to go visit. Generally speaking, really the only thing you know about them is these guys really like fire. They're big on fire. And they're very definitely proving it. As the night wears on, they'll keep offering you food and drink. It's up to you guys how drunk you get. Would anybody be getting proper drunk?
No, I'd have enough to be polite.
Okay.
Yeah, enough to be polite. That's enough.
I'd probably have enough to be tipsy, but given that the last time Friend got super drunk, there was a small army of skeletons, it would probably not advisable.
Hardbreak?
Yeah, I think Lop would just kind of follow everyone else and just take
a little,
us.
But not lots. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. They do kind of end up making fun of you all then for not drinking to excess, because these people know how to drink to excess. These guys drink like they don't want to be alive anymore. And they start kind of proving it towards the end of the night. So as the giant fire sort of burns down, people start jumping over it or running through it. And the leader, Tormal, is sort of standing there watching and sort of egging people on. It's mostly the sort of adolescent types, but occasionally one of the more hoary warriors will run through. A couple of the ladies kind of somersault through it. So eventually everybody's like, well, are you going to brave the fire? Are you going to brave the fire?
I can't remember how this system works.
You roll a number of d6s equal to your traits, plus one if you have an appropriate trait, minus one if you have an inappropriate trait, and you hope to get, I think it's sixes, but it might be fives. It's been a while.
I think it's sixes.
No, I think it's five or sixes, actually.
Oh.
Because otherwise, you'd only ever score a success and a tool.
It's just a six. If it rolls a six, you succeed.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. And it's if you roll a six on the tool die that you get your tool effect. Cool. Well, there you go.
Brave the fire. Brave the fire. Brave the fire.
I mean, I do have agile, so
that would probably help.
Okay.
So what do you think you're going to do? Some people are just walking through it. Some people are jumping over it. A couple of the women have somersaulted through it.
I'm going to jump over it.
Okay. So you back up, you take a nice big run up, and then off you go. Traits plus one for your agile, please.
Okay, so that is a total of six dice. So I'm looking for number of sixes.
Yep. Well, you're looking for a six to succeed, basically.
Oh, yeah, I got three sixes.
Okay, so you do it pretty well. You take a running jump, and literally you jump so far and high that you're nowhere near the fire at any point. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. Bit safe, but pretty good. Well done. It's like a scattering of clapping and a lot of people who are obviously not as agile as you are like, oh, yeah, but he didn't really get close to the fire. So did he really brave the fire? I think that's cheating. If they could do it your way, you guess that they would. Any of the rest of you willing to brave the fire this evening?
I'll give it a go. I've got resilient, so...
You're going to try a walk?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. So you watch these people do it, and they sort of stand at one side, and they sort of psych themselves up, and then they just walk slowly and calmly through the fire.
Okay. So it's, what, traits plus one dice?
Yep, traits plus one for resilient.
Okay, I do get a six.
Probably for the best. So you sort of stand on the edge of the fire and you're like, and you start walking. And the coals are hot, but as long as you keep moving, actually, it's not that bad. And you get to the other side. They are very impressed with that. They're like, yeah, yeah. Even Tormal, he brings up like this gourd of things. He salutes you with it, takes a big swig, swallows it, takes another big swig, and then blows it onto the fire and singes the eyebrows of everybody on the other side of the fire.
Okay.
The last two of you, are you braving the fire?
Probably should. We're trying to make a good impression.
Mm-hmm. How do you think you'd do it then? What would Sorin's approach be, your sickliness?
I mean, she'd probably also go with the jumping over it approach.
Yeah, because sickly is the opposite of resilient, isn't it?
Yeah, and she's also quite agile. She has the agile trait.
Fair enough. So you back off and take a running jump?
Yes. This is where I realised that my box of D6 is in a different room.
Oh, no!
So I need to just roll loads of them on Google, because it's that where I run away for 5 minutes. And
yeah, fair enough.
I got 2 sixes.
Okay, so yeah, you jump over. Having seen what happened when Kursk like literally jumped the whole fire and a bit to spare, you get it a little bit closer, but yeah, you're not willing to actually get burned. So you still clear the fire nicely. And they're like, yeah, see, closer. That's what you should do, closer. Hardwick, what about you?
Not cool. Give it a go. It's going to have to be a dexterous kind of...
Dexterous. So, here's the thing. If you want to do dexterous, I'll say that you're going to do, like, one of the sort of somersaulty trips through. Okay. It'll be really impressive if you pull it off. It'll be really bad if you don't.
Yeah.
Like, properly bad.
Okay.
You've still got, like the blessing of the bear, right?
He'll save me.
I think you probably do.
Right, so that's... Oops. Yes, I got 1 6.
Yay! So Lop backs up a little bit, and then he runs forward, and you kind of do a forward roll, jump up, land on your hands, and spring out. So you spend a lot of time in the fire compared to the people who just somersaulted through it. And everyone is impressed with that. They're like, yeah! Yeah! And Tormal, he downs most of the gourd of the stuff and then just sprays it all over the bonfire. It goes up in a massive whoomp up to the heights. And he calls you all over.
Well done. That's your first meeting with fire. You all did very well. I'm very impressed. Is this the sort of metal of people in your tribe, then?
Certainly those called upon to venture.
Good. That's what we like to see. If you want us to be your allies, obviously we need to know that you've got fire deep inside you. Not like those. He points over to a bunch of staked people who have been set on fire. They have fire all on the outside and none in the middle. Mostly it's wood in there now. Well, I think I'm going to sleep now. You're welcome to sleep by the fire.
And he disappears into his tent. Everybody immediately starts disappearing. It's very obvious that when the chief goes to bed, everybody goes to bed.
Mm.
Very soon, there's just you four, well, five, and the remains of a giant fire.
Yes, that's our cue.
I feel like going to bed seems like a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you all sort of make your little sleeping arrangements. You've got, like, bedrolls and things like that, haven't you? And you're next to a giant fire, so it's not, like, entirely unpleasant sleeping outside. You're woken basically by the sun coming up, and there's a light sort of misty drizzle coming down, which is not so pleasant. Everybody else does not get up for a while. The guards are still awake, obviously, but everybody else stays in bed a phenomenally long time compared to how you guys would do it, because you guys are a Stone Age tribe, so getting up at dawn is kind of what you guys do. Similarly, like going to sleep when it's dark is a thing that you guys do. This tribe did not go to sleep when it got dark. They stayed up for ages, and they were all drinking all night. So they get up a good few hours after the sun has come up. Tormal comes staggering out of his thing. He kind of looks at you all and is like, who are you? Why are you here? What are you doing in my camp?
You invited us in?
I did.
Last night.
And gave us hospitality.
Huh.
Good hospitality, too.
Did I? Oh. One of you did something with the fire, didn't you?
Yes.
You did. You points at Lop. You did the thing with the
springing and jumping. And you jumped over it, and you jumped over it, and you walked through it. I remember now. You want some kind of alliance, right? Or
ideally,
meeting about an alliance or something. Something like that, yes?
At the meeting stones in days.
8 days.
Seven now. Right. Well, if we're going to do that, you're going to have to endure the touch of the flame. I need some food. And he sort of staggers off in the direction of somebody else's tent. Breakfast is provided. Breakfast is not incredibly burned meat. It is cold, incredibly burned meat, with this pulp, like this pulpy stuff. They get these... you actually watch them make it. They get these plants and they pull them up and then they put them in this half a log and they beat the ever-living shit out of it. I mean, they smack the crap out of this stuff. And then they take the smashed up tree and they dump it in this big thing of boiling water. And it smells pretty good. And after about like half an hour, you're sort of edging over there, seeing if like you can get a taste or something. And they're like, oh, no, you can't drink that. They pour all the water out. They take what's in there out and put it back in the log and beat the ever-living shit out of it again. And then they boil it again. And like after about half an hour or so, you're like, well, last time we approached the boiling stuff, they told us off. So we'll just sort of stay here. And they pour all the water out, and then they pour another load of cold water all over it, and then they pour that out, and then they look at it really carefully, and then they start handing out this pulp. It's not bad. by this point, it's a little bit tasteless, but yes, it's all right.
So it's danger porridge.
Yeah, basically. This is actually how you prepare, I want to say, sago.
I was thinking cassava, but...
Something like that. It's one of the ones where it's filled with cyanide, so you have to like boil it twice and beat the shit out of it. But yeah, you it's not bad. It's like I said, it's a bit plain. But you notice that what they do is they rip up the badly burned cold meat and just sort of dunk it in it and then eat the whole thing. It's quite nice like that, actually. It takes the sting off the carbonized outer exterior of the meat. After breakfast, Tungul comes over. So, you've eaten? You're full? You've sneezed? Yep. Good. So, you want us to come to... You want us to come to the meeting stones. One of you must touch the flame. This is my decree. If one of you touches the flame, then we will come. If you do not touch the flame, then we will not come.
Okay.
Who is going to touch the flame?
I'll do it.
The one who walks the fire. Very well. Come. And he leads you away from the camp and towards the other end of the plateau. Now, the plateau does get more... vegetation as you go along. Again, there's no really big trees, but they get taller towards this end. You get the impression that maybe the tribe moves around the plateau as it uses up all of the available wood in one area, it moves to a different area so that the wood can regenerate. And he leads you to the very point of the plateau. And there's like this weird wooden scaffold. It's very charred. You can see it's like flame scarred. And out on the end of it, there's this rope just sort of hanging down over the side of the cliff. And below that rope, there's like a wooden platform. So, you who would touch the flame, you will go onto the platform. You will hold onto the rope. We will remove the platform. We will light the rope. You will stay there until we complete our count, and then the platform will be returned, and you can let go of the rope. If you fail, you fall.
Understood.
If you touch the fire in this way, you will have done something that only the bravest of our tribes do. And he holds up his hands, and they're all melted, like all the way up to the elbow. As you can see, I have touched the fire. So, you accept?
Well, if I want you to come to the meeting... There is little choice.
Very well. And they put you on the platform and they push it out over the edge.
Oh, it's a long way down.
Yeah. We came up the long way.
Yeah, it is a long way down. And you reach up and you take hold of the rope. And the rope actually is, it's pretty thick rope. And it's actually got two loops for you to put your hands in.
Right.
So it's not difficult to hold on to. You could just hang from it if they weren't going to set it on fire.
Uh-huh.
Are you prepared?
As one can ever be for something like this?
They pull the platform away, and you jerk down, and you're hanging by your arms. Very well. You have one final choice here. Do you wish the fast way or the slow way? The slow way, we will count for longer. The fast way, we will count for shorter. The slow way, the burning will be less. The fast way, and he holds his arms up again, the burning will be greater. Choose now.
The slow way.
The slow way. He chooses the slow way. And there's a few tribes people with you, and they're like, And they get these big torches, light them. And they reach over with the ends of these torches and sort of wipe burning pine tar onto the rope. The rope is on fire now. And you're hanging from it over a very large drop. Can you go ahead and make me a resilient check, please?
I get a 6.
They start counting.
I get 2, actually. But...
Well, that's good. That's good. They start counting, and it's a slow count. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
I didn't know their burns were that bad.
And they keep counting, like, up to 3. And every time they count up to 3, Tormal picks a white rock up and puts it from his right to his left. There's a big pile of rocks there. The pine tar is like burning quite heavily now, and it's starting to spit a little, and you keep getting like hot spits onto your arms and such. I would like you to make me a willful, I believe it is.
Ooh, I have that.
Good.
I get 6s.
Excellent. Yeah, you managed to avoid flinching. You sort of continue holding on to the rope and avoid flinching. They're still doing the very slow count, and like the fire is getting closer to your hands, and you can feel the outer parts of your hands like getting really quite warm. Can you make me a brave test?
I do not have brave.
Oh,
so it's just it's still traits plus 1, right?
No, it's just traits. If you don't have traits. Brave, okay. Then it's just traits.
I do not get a 6.
Right. So you've done all right with the heat of the fire. You've done all right steeling yourself not to flinch from the fire, but you don't manage to kind of hold down the panic of, they're just going to fucking watch me burn and then fall to my death here. So you're like, But as you're doing that, the last white stone comes across and the platform comes up underneath your feet. You drop onto it instantly. You don't have any choice. I would have liked to have seen more bravery from you, but you did not fall to your death. Come.
He motions you over and he pulls your arms out and he sort of examines them.
You've got like a little bit of blistering on your knuckles where your hands were up. You've got some like little spots where the oil spat on you. And he goes, meh. It is acceptable. You were touched by the fire and you touched the fire. Very well. We will come and visit this meeting stones.
I'm probably not going to be terribly verbal at that point.
No.
But
you are very aware that you could have just fallen about 252 meters to your doom. Onto jagged rocks, incidentally.
Well, at least it would have been quick.
Probably. It probably would have been pretty much instantaneous. But yeah, it seems like the Tribe of Fire is on board.
Excellent.
You've only got one more that you could possibly even think of. The Tribe of the Poison Vine.
Brain sparking. Didn't they tell us to sod off?
My notes on them say they don't believe they're magical, but they're unlikely to get on with the Tallbreakers. They've recently been at war with the Heart Eaters.
Yeah.
So this could be awkward.
Yeah, so basically, the Tribe of the Poison Vines is north of the Tribe of the Elk and east of the Tribe of Fire. They're like up in this corner. They're about as far up the mountain as you guys are. But yeah, so it's up to you guys. Do you want to head over to them or do you not?
I would strongly suggest going over to
them. I feel like we should at least tell them in person of the meeting, as we've told literally everyone else who we're not already at war with.
Yeah, pretty much. It would be a bad lookout if you didn't, let's say.
Yeah, it's like we might not be trying. Well, it depends. I don't know. I don't know how strongly we're pushing for them to definitely join us, but we should at least tell them this meeting is happening. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see when we get there. If they don't think they're magical, our arguments may have less sway.
So you leave the plateau. Everybody's quite friendly to you guys. Again, you've all shown that you're willing to pretty much jump in the fire to gain their approval, which is, well, that's a thing. It's certainly a thing. And then at least one of you has touched the flame, which actually, given how they're reacting to you, you think that that's certainly bumped you up their ratings. Fran, is it? Fran?
Me? Yes.
Yes. Fran. Yeah, you've definitely been boosted up their ratings by doing that. They're certainly impressed with you. And yeah, you make it down to the bottom of the plateau and start heading off in the direction of the Tribe of the Poison Vines. Now, the river that you guys crossed from the Tribe of the Elk to get to the Tribe of Fire's lands also separates the Tribe of Fire from the Tribe of the Poison Vines. So you kind of have to spend a little time looking for somewhere to ford. It does take a little while. The river here is pretty wide, pretty deep. You find like a series of rounded rocks to get across. And then you're in forest. It's kind of like your forest. It's mostly fir trees, a few deciduous trees, but all around you can see like there's these creeping plants going up the side, and there's up in the canopy you can see like these round balls of very bright green leaves with these little white berries on them. And there's like mushrooms and brightly coloured mushrooms literally everywhere.
Knowing that we're approaching somewhere called the Tribe of the Poison Vines, I feel like we should avoid everything.
I mean, fair.
The brighter it is, the more it's trying to warn you off.
Or lure you in.
You're fairly certain they live along the river. So once you cross over, you basically have a choice. You can go south or you can go north. There's more of their lands to the north, so it makes more sense to go north. Again, they're in one of these they're in one of these valleys that sort of slopes upwards, much like yours. This one is much, much more gradual, though. So it's much less steep. Takes you maybe a couple of hours. So it's just gone lunchtime by the time you start seeing smoke in the distance. How do you plan to make your approach? Wander up, make some noise or something, or stand about and see if they spot you. What are you doing?
I mean, I'm going to suggest that once we are definitely on their land, we wait for at least a little bit to see whether they turn up and say, "Oi, get off our land." Okay. But I'm open to suggestions.
Yeah, I think how we've approached it with others has been make some sort of obvious sign that we're there rather than just walking straight into their camp.
It's considered rude to that, surely. Yeah, that would be considered rude. So you sort of hang about a bit and we're here then. After a little while, you do... Actually, I don't know if you do. Make aware checks, all of you.
Do I have that? I do not have that.
I'm still focusing on the birds.
I do not get any sixes.
Okay.
Two sixes.
So, Lop and Sorin, is it?
Yes.
So, you two are sort of standing around and waiting. and you can hear like the crackle of leaves and the rustle of bushes, and you sort of glance over and you see a shape move from one bush to another bush. So you're fairly certain that they're here. Fren and Soren, Kursk. Fren and Kursk, not a clue. Not a clue. You're standing there. Not expecting anything. It was like three or four guys, like festooned in bush, like literally covered in leaves and twigs and mud, just appear around you. All of them have got like blowpipes.
Stay where you are. Don't make any sudden moves. Don't reach for your bow. Don't reach for your weapons. We will kill you in a second if you move.
Who is carrying the heart that Granmac gave you to be able to cross his lance?
I don't know.
Which of you had it? Somebody. Was it you, Hardwick?
I don't know.
According to my notes, Kursk took it from a corpse. Well, Kursk... A corpse gave a heart to Kursk.
Right.
The beginning of... Oh, but then Kursk ate a part... I don't know. He ate a different heart. Oh, wait, I don't have...
I don't think you ended up with a heart, did you? You ate a heart instead. Right. It's all right,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, Kursk ate a heart.
Hmm.
Okay.
I don't have any notes of us being given one.
I thought for a moment that I'd given you a heart, but it's the first heart that he gave you so you could pass by the screaming ones that I'm remembering. So don't worry about that. That's not a problem. So you can see these guys. They're very well disguised, covered in mud and trees and such. And then, they're like, waiting. Why are you here?
Oh, we do get to speak. Okay. We are a delegation from the Bear Claw. No, Bear Cave. There's no claw. God damn it. Start again. We're a delegation from the Bear Cave tribe.
Hmm.
We are here to invite you to a meeting at the Meeting Stones in 8 days' time.
Hmm.
Is it 8 or is it 7 now?
It's 7 now.
It's 7 now.
Hmm.
You can bring it. I'll go through the details.
You better come with us. And they lead you literally about 50 meters north of where you're currently standing. And you realize their camp, you basically nearly walked into it because the smoke you can see is not coming from their camp. And when you first go in there, it just looks like an area that's covered in little hills. And then people start coming out of the little hills. And you're like, oh, these are not little hills. They are a hidden camp. Okay. And they're like, come on, come on. And they lead you towards the biggest of the little hills. Guess what? You're meeting another tribal leader. You step inside and sat in front of you, in front of... The best way you're putting it is paraphernalia.
Okay.
There's like a little... there is a fire in here, but it's not giving out much in the way of smoke. It seems to be like charcoal or something.
Huh.
And there's pots and things all over the place. And like this whole hut, the roof has like these hanging sprigs of all sorts. There's like logs with mushrooms growing on them and probably toadstools, you assume, but all along one wall. On the other one, there's like these pots and pots and pots, all of which are like got various liquids in. And there's a woman in there, completely naked, completely red from head to foot, like literally painted bright crimson red. And she's sort of staring something that's on the fire in front of her. In, sit, stare.
I sit.
Reaches down and takes like a handful of blow dart needles and dips them in one at a time and then very carefully lays them aside to allow whatever she's just dipped onto them to dry and solidify. Kursk, you're kind of a blow darty person, aren't you? Do you feel like...
Yes, I am.
Do you feel like making me a clever check?
Sure.
I don't have clever, so that is 5 dice.
Well, as long as you don't have stupid, you'll be all right.
I do not have stupid. I got a 6.
Cool. Right, so when you're doing your blow darts, you put this stuff on them that makes them cause pain when people are hit. That ain't the stuff she's making here. The stuff she's making here, you think, might have a different and much worse effect. She very carefully arranges them, just checks to make sure that they're done. And then she reaches down and takes one more. And she reaches behind her, and there's this cage with like a rat, or some kind of muskrat or something in it. And she dabs the needle into the paste again, blows on it, and the paste holds. And then just jabs the muskrat with the needle and then holds it up to watch. The muskrat starts frothing at the mouth and then keels over. Legs in the air, twitching.
Okay.
She stretches, cracks her back, stretches out her shoulders, lifts the bit of bark that those needles are on, and moves it carefully away, and looks at you all. I'm Red Frog. I'm the leader of the tribe of the Poison Vines. You're here in front of me for a reason. I better like the reason, otherwise you probably won't ever leave this settlement.
We are here with an invitation to a meeting of the Meeting Stones, The subject of which is an alliance against the Toolbreakers and Warchanters, who seem to be in the midst of working up to a war against all of the tribes with magic.
So, we are not a magical tribe. We are very skilled. She waves a hand at all the herbs and stuff. We're not magical, but our enemies are. Tell me, have you visited the Heart-Eating Tribe and extended this invitation to them?
The rules set by the Sun Worshippers were all must be invited.
You're aware that Granmak takes prisoners and tears their hearts out to make them into his undead?
I can't claim any detailed knowledge about the Heart Eaters. We don't really run into them much. But it would be a logical inference from these screaming corpses we found at these borders.
Those screaming corpses, many of them used to be members of this tribe. So you want us to come and discuss an alliance with joining you versus the War Shouters and the Toolbreakers, who live so very far away from us, to defend the magical tribes, one of whom steals our members and murders them.
It is an invitation, not a summons. But I would perhaps mention that while you are not a magical tribe, I'm not sure that blunt tribes like the Toolbreakers would necessarily understand the distinction.
Perhaps not. I have to admit, our tribe, while we ourselves are not particularly magical, we have nothing against magical tribes. Magic, much like she waves her hand at the huge number of pots of unguents, is a tool, and knowing how to use that tool is the skill. Which is why Granmak and his use of undead shows his own lack of sense. So tell me, how do you match up against the Toolbreakers and the War Shouters? What is it that your tribe does with its magic?
I will have to look at my companions to answer this better than I. As yourself, I am not personally magical.
So what is it that you do?
I'm a crafter, I'm a tracker, I know how to use tools. And my skills.
A crafter, you say? Very well. And what are the rest of you? How do you use your magic?
hang on. So, Lop is a shaman? No, wait, is that Odina?
Lop's a priest, Odina's a shaman.
Right.
And a cultist. And you raise the dead, but you might not want to mention that to these people?
I mean,
you do curses.
I don't have to raise the dead to use my magics. I can just cause people to fall over screaming.
Yes. Maybe you want to tell them that rather than the whole, well, I can also summon the dead back from their rest.
Okay. I make use of my talents also as a crafter, and when necessary, I can inflict pain and harm on... Well, I've only ever used it on humans, so I'm not going to start experimenting on others.
I see. Interesting. While you're talking, she started making something. Soren, Bren, she starts taking bits and pieces from here and there and mixing. And the rest of you? She points over at you, Kursk. Are you magic?
Has he got a bow? No, I just shoot things.
Hmm. Are you skilled with it?
Reasonably.
And you, Lop? She's pointing at you now.
I am a priest.
Ah, a priest, you say. So, of the bear, I assume?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Yes, that's correct.
Hmm. She finishes whatever she was making and puts it to one side. You two, who said they were crafters. Did you see what I just made?
Did we? Do I have to make a check for this?
You will do in a minute. You sort of saw what she was doing, yeah?
Yeah.
Very well. Make it. And she sort of sits back and crosses her arms.
Hmm.
I would like to get a closer look at the thing.
You can lean forward. It's a pot of some kind of liquid. You're fairly certain you remember what she put in it and what she did to it. It will be a crafting check. Can't remember what a crafting
dexterous.
Yeah, that sounds...
Oh, but we can either automatically succeed but use all materials, or make a dexterous test but can choose one material to not be used.
Yeah, so it's up to you. You are both skilled crafters. You can just make it.
In the interests of not being poisoned, I would like to just make it.
Okay, and you, Soren?
That's tricky. Do I want to show off? This would just be a standard dexterous test, right?
Yep.
I'll risk it.
Okay. Give me a check.
I got 1-6.
Okay. So between the two of you, you do actually make two pots of this stuff. And when you finish, she picks it up, sniffs it very carefully, dabs a finger into it, and just sort of taps it to the end of her tongue. Good. Good. You may consider them a gift. They are antidotes.
Thank you.
She starts making something. It looks almost exactly the same as what you just did. Nothing different goes into it. She doesn't seem to prepare it any different. And when she places that pot, the stuff in it's a slightly different colour and it's a bit more viscous. And she points to it. She goes, that is deadly poison. It uses the same ingredients.
That is quite some skill you have.
Sorry, say again. Loka.
Calamy suitably impressed.
Hmm. But this is the point I'm making to you. Two things with the same ingredients. One, helpful, useful. One, deadly, death. Do you take my meaning?
Yes.
The heart-eating tribe are not allies that you want. You would probably do better to leave them to their deaths and take friendlier tribes. Do you see?
I take your meaning.
We will be there. 10 people, you say? Including myself?
Yes. I believe so, yes.
Very well. Blimey. We will see you in a few days, then. Now, I would advise you to leave our lands before the sun goes down. It is very easy to, by accident, brush against things when you can't see them in the dark. And quite often, brushing up against something in our lands will cause discomfort, if not death.
Duly noted.
It does not take you long to get back out of their lands. And you can cross over the Tribe of Fire's lands relatively easily and sort of get down to where the point of the rocky part of the mountain sticks into the Heart-Eating Tribe's lands. Now, you kind of have a choice here. You can push on through the Heart-Eating Tribe's lands into the Water Tribe's lands, but you'll get there after dark, or... you can just stay this side of the Tribe of Fire's lands. This side of the Heart-Eating Tribe's lands. Or you could push on as far as you can in the sunlight and camp in their lands. It's entirely up to you.
I can't remember what our little encounter gave us in terms of permissions.
Grandmack was pretty much of the opinion, yeah, you're allowed to go through our lands. Don't do any hunting or fishing or gathering in here, but you can go. Sure, I'm fine with it. One of you ate a heart, even.
Then I would put forth a vote for getting as far as we can.
And then camping in their lands?
Yeah, if we've got permission.
Yeah, you think so. Okay, so you push on, unless anybody's voting against it.
Cool. I suppose we can. If I can't remember what the other options were, so we can do that.
Okay. So it takes a little while, and yeah, you make relatively good progress. You think that by about lunchtime tomorrow, you can be back at the Bear Claw Cave from where you currently are. You sort of bed down in the night. How are you doing this? Are you building a fire? Are you setting up watches? What are you doing?
I definitely suggest watches.
Yeah, watches are a definite thing. Fire? What time of year is it?
It's sort of spring summer, isn't it? I think it's spring summer.
We can probably go without then in favor of getting the night over and done with quicker.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You guys sort of settle down and wait, fall asleep, leave your guards on. Your guards don't get to rest very long. After a little while, you start hearing and coming from the south, you see this thing. It's not something you guys have seen before. It's built kind of like a bear. Big, heavy shoulders, about 2.5 meters long, short tail, powerful shoulders, coarse brown fur. But the head looks like a wolf's head or a dog's head. And it sort of, it stops as it probably scents you all. And then it turns and looks in your direction. This is a bear dog. However, we have run out of time. I will, however, send you a picture of a bear dog before we leave. If I can find one, because these things are cool. They're just weird, these things. Search. Yeah, that's a good picture. Because that also gives you a size comparison, which is great. Hey, there you go. That thing's coming towards you.
Oh, dear.
However, we've run out of time. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed what you've been listening to. If you have, then please do feel free to leave us your iTunes reviews, your Podchaser reviews, your Podbean reviews. You can talk to us at thecultcityanddice.net or thecultcityanddice@gmail.com. You can talk to us at cultcityanddice on X. You can talk to me at Mordrigan. Please note, I do not have my notifications turned on, so you might be better off emailing me. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.